The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So last week we started this series, How to Neighbor, and you know, where this all comes from is the heart of God. Jesus taught the two greatest commandments. Number one was to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he went on to say, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Last week we looked at how Jesus was challenged by a lawyer of the day, and he pushed Jesus and wanted to test Jesus and said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus then shared that popular, well-known story of the Good Samaritan, the Jewish man who was beat up, and other Jews wouldn't take care of him, but a Samaritan went out of his way, went across the street, and despite the racial tension and ties that existed between those two cultures, he went out of his way to show love to that neighbor. And the challenge to us was to do the same. We live in a very diverse culture. There's over 70 different nations represented within the Northern Virginia area. And God has called us to love each and every neighbor that he has placed around us. And today, we're going a step further, and we're looking at the idea, not the idea, but the reality of orphans, the orphans among us. Let me just give you a couple statistics as I was doing some research. Because of the brokenness in society, we have a nation that has over 400,000 children without a home. Did you hear that number? 400,000. Just in the U.S. alone, we have 400,000 children that do not have a home. In the state of Virginia, there's 920 kids in the foster care system waiting for a home to be placed in. And in our county alone, in Prince William County, there's about 50 students who don't have a place to call home in the foster care system, waiting for somebody to take them in. And we believe that God has raised us up not to just be a people who go to something called church. God's intention for the church was not for it to ever become a place on a corner that you would visit a couple times a week. But instead, God has called us to be the church, not just go to church. And we believe that as we are the body of Christ, for those of us who consider Jesus Christ our Savior, our Lord, that he calls us to follow in his footsteps. In our society, we know that this is a real need. And according to the brother of Jesus, a guy named James, a biological brother of Jesus, not just a spiritual brother, a guy who grew up in the home with Jesus, James came to understand that Jesus wasn't just his brother, but after Jesus died on the cross and rose again, his own brother then put his belief in Jesus. And James ended up becoming one of the leaders in the early church and wrote the book that we call the book of James. James wrote these words about the heart of God in James chapter 1, verse 27. He said this: religion that God our Father accepts, the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Now pay attention. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You'll often hear me talk about how Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. Jesus came to establish a relationship, to want to pour out his love into our lives, to be intimately involved in the details of our life. But out of the outflow and the pour of his love into our life, it should produce fruit. Faith without works is dead, James goes on to say. That because of Jesus' love in our life, there are certain things that we should do. If I were to have a child and you were to do a DNA test, there are things in me that would be passed on to my child. In the same way, the heart of God, as we become children of God, the heart of God, the DNA of God should transfer to us. And we see here that the love that God has and the religion, the religious acts that he accepts and desires from us is to do what? Is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And so we got to get this. We got to understand this, that God doesn't just want us to
to pray for orphans. God doesn't just want us to establish programs to take care of widows. God wants us involved in the lives and the care of orphans and widows in their time of distress. So how do we do this? Well, I believe that this idea can be overwhelming. To first of all, try to swallow the idea that there's 400,000 children in need. In our county alone, there's 50 children waiting for a home that they can be a part of. But the beauty is there are far more Christians in this world. There are far more Christians in our nation than there are children in need. And I believe that the church, that we as followers of Jesus are God's plan A for those who are in need. That we, it's true that not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. And we are to be a part of that plan. If I were to stand before you and show you pictures, for instance, of a girl named Sophia, 3-month-old, whose mother is in rehab right now, struggling from our narcotics addiction, trying to get free of that. If you were to see Sophia, this 3-month-old, and she's in the foster care system, and you were to see her face and to hear her name and hear her story, I'm sure one of you at the end of service would come up and say, "Pastor John, what can I do about that?" If I were to show you the picture of Michael and his twin brother Jordan, if I was to show you their picture, 2 9-year-olds who have a dad who's in prison and a mom who's deceased, and they so desperately are hoping and praying that a home would open up where they could not have to be separated but be able to be taken to that home together. If I were to show you their face and tell you their names and tell you their story, your hearts would likely be moved and you would come up and say, "What can I do?" Why is that? It's because the way that many of us are wired, when we see, when it becomes real, when we see a face, when we come to learn a name, when we understand the story behind the situation, our hearts are moved. How many of you watch reality TV like America's Got Talent? How many? Yeah? Did you see the boy the other night who somehow went blind and then his eyesight recovered? And then he went on the show and he sang just amazing. How many of you saw that boy just the other night? Blown away. What's even more amazing is not his talent, but the story behind that. And that's why they put so much into the storytelling, the backstory. They want to show you the face of the person who is demonstrating that talent. There's so much to that, knowing the story and knowing the face. And as I sit here before you, stand here before you today, I want to tell you that each and every one of those 400,000 children in the United States, each and every one of them have a name. Each and every one of them have a face. Each and every one of them have a story. And God loves each and every one of them. And I believe that as the church, God calls us to care for those orphans in their time of need. If we were to together make a list, and for the sake of time, I made one in advance, but if we were to make a list of all the world's problems, and you were to ask the question, based on these problems, who suffers the most? What would your answer be? Let me read the problems to you. The problem, and these are real everyday problems. You will likely run into a number of people who are dealing with these problems, and some of you may be dealing with some of them yourself. The problems of broken families, of fatherlessness, of divorce, of poverty, of substance abuse, of incarceration, of homelessness, of domestic abuse, of gang violence, of racism, of teenage pregnancy, of human trafficking, and the list goes on and on. Who do you think suffers the most from these problems? What do you think? Children. That's right. Those who had nothing to do with the problem, those who have no power or ability to solve the problem, these are the ones that suffer the most. And I believe that's why God wrote in Psalm 82, verse 3 through 4, these words. He said, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed." And in 2 weeks when we come back from camp, back in July, we're going to hit the, how do we take care of the poor and the oppressed? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. What does God call us to do? He calls us to defend the weak and the fatherless. He calls us to rescue the weak and the needy. It doesn't take long for you to walk out into our society and find individuals who are in these categories. And God doesn't just call us to pray for them from a distance. He doesn't just call us to huddle up in our prayer circles and wish them good blessings. He tells us to defend them. He tells us to go out and rescue them. He tells us to care for them. When Jesus demonstrated this for us, he was setting an example. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw us as sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion. And the word there is a yearning inside of him. He didn't just feel bad for us, like, oh, those poor people. He had such a hurting and yearning inside that it drove him to action. And when you see the poor and the oppressed, the weak and the defenseless, are you moved to action? God calls us to defend the weak and the fatherless, to rescue the weak and the needy. I know recently the kind of commercials I've been seeing on TV, especially on some of the late night cable channels, are the Save the Puppy commercials. Have you seen those? The music, the heart-moving music, kind of cheesy music comes on, and they show all these puppies in shelters in need of rescue. Sometimes they show kittens. I don't know why, but puppies need to be rescued. And our hearts are moved. I remember working as a camp counselor at camp one year, and I walked out of the camp cafeteria, and some of you heard this story. I walked out, and I heard this chirping of a bird, but it was unlike any chirp I'd ever heard before. It was like a distress call. And what was weird, it wasn't coming from the trees. It was like right down by my feet somewhere. And as I tried to find the sound, it was just a couple feet away underneath this bush. And what I saw, I was shocked. It was a bird that had like fallen out of a nest. It didn't even have feathers yet. It was like just born out of the egg. And my heart was crushed. We see things like this in need and we want to do something. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I touched it, if I kill it. And so I carefully, you know, went and got help. And it was deploy all forces necessary to save the birdie. Okay? Save the birdie, save the birdie. I later found out it was a quail. And over the next 3 months, I cared for it. It grew. It learned to fly. Everywhere I'd go, it'd follow me like I was its dad. And it was amazing, an amazing summer working at a camp caring for this bird. And it was a quail, so I named him Dan. And so my heart was broken to care for this defenseless, helpless thing in need. We have these campaigns, save the whales, save the puppies, save the birdies. But what about save the children? What about save those who, I believe God cares for the birds and the whales and the puppies, and I care for those things too. But the kind of religion that God accepts is the care of orphans and widows in their distress. I know in so many ways in our world, it's so easy to out of sight, out of mind, right? If I don't really know about it, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to do anything about it. I've got my own kids. I'm struggling to pay my own bills. I'm struggling to take care of, you know, it's hard enough to get clothed for my own children. How am I going to care for somebody else? We have a God who cares deeply for these children. And regardless of how much we think we can do it or not, we all can do something. In Psalm 68:5, it says this, that our God is a father to the fatherless. Our God, he is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. Our God, in his holy dwelling place, what does he do? He sets the lonely in families. Our God, the Father of the fatherless, what is his desire? What is he up to doing? He is up to orchestrating life in such a way that those who are lonely, he picks them up and he places them in families of need. And it may be that you're sitting there today and God has his eye on you. God is looking to you and saying, I have children in need. He sees the 16-year-old without a father who is crying out to God from his heart. God, send somebody to love on me, to care for me. He He sees the four-month-old who needs a family to raise them, and he sees you, and he sees me, and he has a plan, and we are his plan A, to care for those who are in need in our family. What does God do? He brings the lonely, and he places them in families. And today, my goal is not to guilt trip us into action, but to take us to a place where we would honestly seek the Father and say, God, I've never felt called to be a foster parent. I've never felt called to adopt. But if it's something you want me to do, show me. God is just looking for willing hearts who are willing to come before him and say, God, help me. You may be sitting there saying, I don't know that I could ever do it. The goal of foster care many times is to help a child in their time of need, but eventually be reunified with their parents. And you might be the kind of person to say, we get so attached, and I would love on that child to then have to then turn around and give that child back. That would just rip my heart out. That would hurt so much. And you know what? You're absolutely right. But just because something hurts doesn't mean it's wrong. Sometimes the best things that God calls us to do in life will rip our heart out. And God calls us to invest in the lives of those that he has placed around us. And before we just say no, let us say, God, show me. Is this something you want me to do? Is this something that you would have for me? Brandy, my wife, grew up in a home. Three daughters. Jim, he's not here today. But my father-in-law, Jim, and his wife, Adele at that time. He is remarried to Robin. If you've met Jim and Robin, you're like, whoa, that's not her name. Anyway, second marriage. But growing up, Jim and Adele and Brandy, Harmony and Cresta, they had close to 67 foster kids in their home. Not at once. That would be a little crazy. But groups at a time, opening up their home, caring for those in need. And one of those foster children is sitting with us today. He was adopted, and he's now like my little brother, Eddie, sitting right back there, trying not to cry. I see you shaking. Eddie was one of those foster children brought into their home as a baby. And God saw fit to leave Eddie as a part of that home. I met Eddie when he was 7 years old when I started dating his sister, Brandy. And it's been an awesome road ever since. What does God want us to do? God wants us to be available to help those who are in need. We have a couple who are on staff with us, Gary and Ange. We just throw up the first picture. Gary and Ange got married years ago, and time after time they tried to conceive, miscarriage after miscarriage, heartbreak after heartbreak, some pregnancies going into the second trimester, and just having that life just pulled from them, crushed their heart. Eventually God opened up their home to receive Evan as an adopted son. That's Evan there. Go on to the next. God continued to bless their family. Go on to the next. That's Evan there. And a couple years later, they prayed, and they tried to conceive again, and unable to have a child, a biological child of their own, God brought Rebecca into their life. Show the next picture. The daughter of a teenager who unfortunately became pregnant, wasn't able to care for the child, and they have what's called an open adoption, where the mother is still involved in Rebecca's life, and Rebecca is now a beautiful teenage girl living with living there in the home with Gary and Ange. They kept praying, knowing that their home was to be filled, and God blessed them again. The next family, and that's baby Trey. There, go to the next photo. Trey came into their life, and they still weren't done. Go to the next photo, and little CJ, Cedric, the son of a couple people addicted to crack and not able to make ends meet. Gary and Ange opened up their home to care for Cedric, and Cedric ended up getting permanently placed into their home. And go to that next picture. That's one of my favorites. Them all sleeping together in the back seat after a long day serving at a backyard Bible club there in Texas. And the next picture is the beautiful family we see today. And no, God has a way of taking the lonely and putting them in families. This is God's heart. And whether it can be permanent adoption or foster care or you coming alongside a family pursuing adoption, there is something that each and every one of us can do. And to be honest, we are never more like God than when we are caring and adopting children. You know, why do we say this? Why do we say this? Because Jesus did it for us. Because if you are a follower of Jesus, you have been adopted by our Heavenly Father. I was a spiritual orphan. I was separated from God by my sin. But because of Jesus and what he did for on the cross for me, his love poured out, his blood shed to cleanse me white of snow. And the scriptures say that because I will put my faith in Jesus Christ, I had the right to become a child of God, that God adopted me as part of his family. And now I'm not my own. I'm in the family of God. He's my heavenly Father. I'm a son, a child of the King. And when anyone calls on the name of our Lord Jesus, we can become a child spiritually born. This is why Jesus came, to help us be born again, to help us realize that we're not just born of flesh and blood, but we can be born of spirit. We can be brought into the family of God through what Jesus made possible, not because we're good enough. None of us can earn our spot in God's family, but because God is good enough. He loves us regardless of the sin in our life, and he embraces us, he pursues us to bring us into his own family. In Ephesians 1:5, Paul said it like this: God decided in advance to adopt us. What did God decide to do? To adopt us, to bring us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God has pleasure in us becoming his children. And there is nothing he does in us that he does not want us doing in the lives of others. And so as God pours his love into our life and brings us into his family, God wants us to pour our love into those around us and bring them into our families. And you, again, may feel like you could never do it, but my encouragement to you is to realize that the church is plan A, and there is no plan B. And it doesn't mean that you have to dive in completely. God may not be calling each and every one of you to become an adoptive parent. God may not be calling each and every one of you to become a foster parent, but there are things you can do. You could throw a baby shower for a family that is adopting or fostering. You could start serving in a children's ministry to care. There are many kids. Sometimes we have up to 100, 110 kids in our children's ministry. Some of them are from broken homes. Some of them don't have godly parents. Some of them are just looking for someone to love on them. And you can serve that role by serving in our Hope Kids ministry, where we serve the needs of autistic children and children with special needs. You can serve in our Hope Kids and in our Climb program, or work with our teenagers. We have, again, over 20 adults taking kids to the beach for a week to pour into them. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And I promise you two things: that if you get involved helping orphans and needy, there are going to be times when it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. That's a promise. It's not always going to be easy. It's going to be messy. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be times when you say, God, why did I even do this? And God will say, it's because I love them, and I love you, and I need to use you to love on them. And it's going to be hard, but it's right, and it's good. And number two, thing I can promise you is that child is worth it. Each and every one of those 400,000 children in the United States, it's worth it. It's hard work, but it's worth it. And why does God need us? Because these children need to know the love of God. And by being placed, I was speaking with an expert in foster care and adoption in the state of Virginia this past week, and he said the number one need they have is, and this was a professional in our government system. He said, we need godly parents willing to open their homes to share the love of God with these children. Many of these children will never know Christ until they are a part of a family where God's love is pouring through that family into their life. And it may be very possible that you might be the answer to that prayer that child is praying to God. Please open up a family for me to become a part of. So what can you do? What can we do? I want to encourage you to first of all pray that you'd seek after the heart of God. If you are a follower of God, we're supposed to walk in His footsteps. We're supposed to follow His example. Today, my hope is that you would begin to pray, God, there are needs in my community. There are needs in my county. How can I help? God may lead some of you to become foster parents. God may lead some of you to permanent adoption. God may lead some of you to become a part of our ministry where we're caring for those in need. Our vision through our Hope for Nova efforts are to have group homes eventually, to have foster homes, to have centers where teenage mothers are being cared for as they give birth to their babies, and some of them will need help placing their babies in good homes or learning how to become mothers. We want to hear from you because it's true. Not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. And this is near and dear to the heart of God, and so it has to be near and dear to our hearts as well. Let's pray. As we go to our Father in prayer and ask Him to reveal to us the things that He wants us and calls us to do, we need to realize that by changing the life of a child, we may not change this world, but we will change that child's world. And for many of those children, they will come to know our loving God and Savior and Father because of the love shown through you. And if you're here this morning and you would say, you know, this all sounds well and good, but maybe you don't even know our Father as your own Father. Maybe you've never entered into a relationship of realizing that Jesus Christ Himself came to make it possible for you to have an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. And if you've never invited God into your own life as your Father, He is simply waiting here with arms wide open, ready to receive you, to make you His child so that you can be spiritually born and made new today. And as we close our service, my hope is that you call out to Him and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself. Help me to turn from the things that I know that are wrong and help me to follow you. Thank you for coming to this world to show me what it means to live the life that you've called me to live. Thank you for being willing to be my Heavenly Father. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to follow you. And if you're here this morning and you already know Jesus as your Father and your eyes are beginning to be more and more opened to realize the need in our community, the need in our county, the need in our world, and your prayer today would be, Jesus, I don't know how you want to use me, but I'm willing to be used. Take me, show me how you want to use me to help care for those in need, to help me to be a father to the fatherless, help me to rescue those who are weak and in need, to help me to defend those who are defenseless. If you're here this morning and you would say, that's our prayer, would you just raise your hands to God and say, God, show us. God, I pray for each and every one in this room who's raising their hand to you, that you would show us, God, that our hearts would be open to see what it is you have us to do as you lead us to be your hands and feet in the lives of those who live in our community, who don't have a home, who don't have the love that they should have. Show us, God, how we can meet those needs. Move among us now, I pray. As our worship team closes out our service, we need to remember that all of this is only possible because of what Christ first did for us. Here at Hope Hill, we try to often remember how Christ's body was broken for us and His blood was shed. As we take a piece of this bread, a symbol of His body broken for us when He went to the cross, and we dip it in this cup of juice, a symbol of His blood shed for us, And as we eat of it, let us remember, Christ, thank you for the example you set for me. Thank you for dying for me. Help me now to leave this place being the person you've called us to be. So, I invite you, if you've put your hope and your heart in Jesus, come and receive communion. If you are having your heart pulled about the issues we've talked about today and you want to pray with someone, we have a couple people in the back that love to pray with you. I'm here in front that would love to pray with you. You don't have to figure it all out today. All God is looking for is a willing, open heart to say, God, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Use me. And if you gave your heart to Jesus and you invited him into your life to become your spiritual father today, I'd love to hear that. Come and let me know. So as our worship team plays, I invite you to stand and worship and come receive communion. We have a station in the back and one here at the front. And pray with us as you feel led. Let us worship our Father.